We're number one. We're number one. We're number one sinners. We're number one sinners. We're number one. That kind of loses its, loses something, doesn't it? But that's part of the message of both of these readings this morning, to remind us we are number one sinners. That's what Paul is saying in this letter to Timothy. Now, there are many people who have problems with the Apostle Paul for some of the things he says, particularly if you take them out of context at various points. Some of what he says can sort of not sound so pleasant to our modern sensibilities. But there's one thing that I think you've always got to admire about Paul, and that is he knows who he is. And he's not shy about reminding people of all the awful mistakes he had made in the past. As he says in this letter, and he says in many of the other letters he writes to the churches, I was not a very good person. I was a Pharisee. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He was a good Jewish religious leader. But because of that, he was an enemy of Christ. He persecuted the early Christians. He held the cloak of those who were stoning Stephen. As he says, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, the foremost sinner, sinner number one. And the reason Paul keeps reminding people and us of this is partly to say, you know, if Christ can forgive me and work through me, he can forgive and work through anyone. The number one sinner. Of course, that could be said of each one of us as well. You are the foremost sinner. I am the foremost sinner. You know, sometimes I hear things, or there's even a few places in Scripture that makes it sound like there's a hierarchy of sins. You know, that some are worse than others or better than others. And I know there is a tradition in the Roman Catholic Church of, what is it, venial sins and, what's the?
Mortal.
Yes. So, but the problem, and maybe that's true, but to my mind, sin is sin. You know, sin is turning from God. Sin is disobeying God. Sin is doing something, and we know that God doesn't want us to do it, or not doing something that we know God wants us to do. That's sin. And saying that some sin is better or worse than others is sort of like saying I'm a little bit pregnant. It's not a matter of degree. It either is or isn't. It's sin or not. We all are the foremost sinners. There's no one who sins worse than me or you. We're all equal. Isn't it nice? Equality. We're all equal in being awful sinners. This is sort of what I think John Calvin was getting at when he at times calls us human beings worms. You know, we don't like to hear that, but I think that was part of his point. You know, it's not like some human beings are worms and some aren't. Calvin was saying we're all like worms. We're all awful people if we're honest with ourselves. Now, of course, Paul is particularly talking about the sin, perhaps, of pride and arrogance. You know, overvaluing ourselves. That's why we need to be corrected and reminded of how awful we can be. Because some of us think we're pretty wonderful. But of course, there are those in our society who have the opposite problem. I think particularly, I was reading an article about this the other day, particularly women or immigrants or minorities or the poor, people who are used to hearing over and over and over again how awful they are or how worthless they are. And in that case, the sin really becomes believing that and thinking you are a worthless person. And that's where we get a balance here in Paul. Notice, he says, I'm an awful sinner, but he also is reminding us how much God loves us. This is why I think verse 15 in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:15, should be right up there with John 3:16. You know, everyone knows John 3:16. What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. I think 1 Timothy 1:15 should also be ingrained in our memories and, you know, held up at football games and things. For this saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. It might be better if we put that sinner part first. I am the worst sinner, and Christ Jesus came into this world to save who?
Me.
This is true whether you think you're the most wonderful person in the world or whether you have come to believe what people have been telling you, that you are worth nothing. In both cases, Christ came into the world to save you. To remind those of us who think we're wonderful that maybe we're not as wonderful as we think. And to remind those who've been told how awful they are that Christ came for them. That's the amazing paradox here. It's a paradox that Martin Luther picks up on. I mentioned him last Wednesday, that Luther often held many things in paradox. But one of them was that we are sinners, we continue to be sinners, and while we are still sinners, God loves us and forgives us. Isn't that amazing? Christ Jesus came into this world to save you and me. Sinners, all of us. Lost sheep and lost coins. And that's part of the message of these two parables. We're not the 99 sheep who are sticking around and wonderful and doing everything right. We're that one sheep, at least at certain times in our lives. We're that sheep that wanders off. We're that coin that rolls across the floor and disappears under the stove. And the thing about a lost sheep and a lost coin is they need to be found. You know, a lost sheep out there in the hills of Palestine, if it starts making a lot of noise, you know, baa, 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 it may hope the shepherd's going to hear it. But it also might be the case that the bears and wolves and whatever wild animals are out there are going to hear it first. So if the sheep is smart, it's going to stay put and be quiet and wait for that shepherd. We depend on the shepherd to find us. We can't find ourselves. This is even more true for the coin. That lost coin is not going to somehow roll back up into the woman's pocket. It's got to be found. And so it is with us. We are lost. We need to be found. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And that's us. And we're all equally sinners. But you know what? We're all equally loved as well. We are foremost sinners, and yet we are also, each of us, the person that God loves most. Remember I said earlier, no one is a worse sinner than you. But you know what else? God doesn't love anyone else any more than God loves you. God loves you most. But God loves all of us the same way. That's the amazing, paradoxical good news. We're awful people sometimes. Okay, most of the time. But God loves us so much that Christ came for you and for me. We're number one sinners. But you know what? In God's eyes, we're also number one. We're number one.